Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Great man of God. Leviticus 5, you'll stand to your feet for the reverence of reading God's Word. I'll give you the thought tonight. Man, we're not going real deep, and we just want to preach Jesus. Is that all right? Leviticus 5. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, won't you notice that? If a soul sin and what? Hear the voice of swearing as a witness, whether he had seen it or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Boy, that's a pretty high standard of holiness, ain't it? Look at verse 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or a carcass of an unclean creeping things, if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Notice, even if it's hidden, the high standard of holiness there. Look at verse 3. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil, to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, and he shall be guilty of these things. And it shall be, when he be guilty of one of these things, that he shall confess that he had sinned that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned. And a female from the flock of the lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for a trespass that which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for sin offering first, and wring off his head and of his from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And it shall be, and it shall sprinkle of the blood of the offering of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out in the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. He shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him and his sin, which he had sinned, and it shall be forgiving him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of the ephah of the fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. And he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it, even a more thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiving him, and the remnant shall be the priest as the meat offering. I want to preach a little bit tonight on this thought, that sin offering, if you'll go with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, this evening. Lord, we sure do love you, God, and thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, we appreciate the services this week. Lord, what you've done Sunday night, Lord God, Monday and Tuesday night, Father, Lord, we appreciate the help last night. Lord, once again, we stand here needing something fresh, Lord, Father, from heaven. And I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. I pray that you'd anoint me with the Holy Ghost of God. Let me say everything you'd want me to say, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, this service is over, that you'd be pleased with all that's been done, God. And Lord, if there's one here tonight lost and undone that's never been saved, I pray tonight would be that night. But Lord, maybe tonight it's somebody that's been saved for a while and just got over the fact the Lord took upon their sin and died. Lord God, that they might live forever, Lord, that you'd rekindle that fire in their heart. Now, Lord, that will be done, Lord, in the service. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You see, this morning the pastor texted me, asked me if I'd come back. And boy, I've been thinking about it. I'll be honest with you. I told you last night that, man, I knew for a pretty good while when I was supposed to preach here, and I knew the Lord was on it. And he called me, and we was talking, and man, this come to my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I was teaching Sunday school last Sunday, dealing with the life of Elijah. And man, it'd been kind of a wild night. Megan had broke her arm there on Saturday night. And man, Sunday morning, I had about four or five different thoughts on my heart, and I didn't know which way to go. And I was teaching Sunday school, and man, got the life of Elijah. And we were over in chapter 18, not before the fire falls. And the Lord got to working in my heart about that offering, that altar that he built up there. And then I got working on my heart about this message, this sin offering. And man, I believe sometimes I didn't do this on purpose, but man, we talked about last night getting a fresh look at the Lord through the Scripture. Well, here it is. If you ever want to see Calvary, right here it is. If you ever want to see what God done for you, right here it is. And you say, well, preacher, man, it's revival. I want something deep, and I want something to help us, and man, something to help me grow. Listen, there's nothing more deeper. There's not a deeper doctrine in the Scripture that God Almighty loved you enough that He died for your sin and was buried and rose again, and that if you'll put your faith in Him, you can go to heaven. It don't get no deeper than that, honey. That's as deep as it is. And you look over this sin offering, and although a few times it says trespass in here, what we're dealing with is the sin offering. And the sin offering, if you'll let me say it like this, it is not dealing necessarily with the trespasses or the fruits or the things we do, but it's dealing with the nature that's within us, the sin nature. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look in verse 5. I mean, look at chapter 5, what we talked about, the ideal of holiness. I meant three different times I stopped right there, and it said that if it be known to him, or if he hadn't known that there was a sin, man, you know why there's a problem? Because the standard of holiness is so high for God. I mean, I know we live in a nation today, and everybody wants to talk about the love of God. And listen, I'm glad He loves me. And the Bible does say God's love. That's not the essence of God. The essence of God is His holiness. If you go back and look at in Revelation or in Ezekiel, I mean, Brother Jenkins, when those cherubims are going around the altar, they're not saying love, love, love. Friend, they're saying holy, holy, holy. So if we're going to get to heaven tonight, it's not about how much you love us, but the holiness of God brought forth the love of God. That He took our place. And He's dealing with our sin nature. Listen, you know, it ain't about just the sins you commit, but you sin because you're a sinner. And we need to get a hold of that. It was passed down. See, Adam sinned and sin brought death upon all. Is that right? And I got to thinking about my little boy. Oh, he's sitting right there, and I like him. And there's a lot of times in life I've tried to teach him a few things. And, well, I guess I can say I love him. Is that all right? But I do more than like him. He kind of let him hang around a little bit. I'll feed him once in a while. He's all right. But I try to teach him some things growing up, Brother Lloyd. As he grows, I try to show him some things. And there's times that he's got to learn some hard lessons. I'm going to be real honest with you. There's times that he's need to learn how to do some things like a man does it, and Mama didn't like it. And I told Mama, you ain't going to like what I'm about to say, but just hush, I'm going to make a man out of your boy, all right? And she didn't like it, but it was things that he needed to learn and things he needed to hear. But the problem is, I've never had a class on how to lie. I've never had a class on how to be manipulative. I've never had a class on how to steal or do, but can I say something every now and then? He might want a little white lie pop out. I didn't teach him that. Every now and then, he won't be a little manipulative and try to get Mama or Grandpa and Grandma to do something and he knows Mom and Daddy said he couldn't do, but I didn't teach him that class. I'm going to tell you what his problem is. He's just like his daddy. See, he's gotten in the same line. He just inherited that sin nature. And that sin nature has got to be dealt with. And I think when we go through in Leviticus, man, there's five offerings. You see, in Leviticus, man, you've got that burnt offering, that meal offering, that peace offering, that sin offering, and trespass offering. And all of those are a different picture and a type of what the Lord did on Calvary. I think many times we fall short to understand everything that happened on Calvary. I think we think, well, He died for our sin. Friend, there was much more going on there than we can ever get a hold of. But I know this. It was an act of worship. That's what that burnt offering was. I mean, that meal offering, it was a sweet savor offering that the Lord took our place. He satisfied God, and God saw a sweet savor that we might get in. Now you say, preacher, where you going? Well, listen. I also find it odd that here in number 5, there's 5 of these offerings, and 5's the number of grace. I find it funny that you're saved through faith, by grace through faith. Is that right? It's the grace of God. We're going to see right here all that He done. But I did find it honestly funny this. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, in verse 23, it says this: it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves, with better, not a sacrifice, but better sacrifices than these. Now he's talking about purifying the temple down here, the pattern of what is in heaven, and he said, but those things down here was done by the bloods of bulls and goats, but that up there would have to be done by a sacrifice. Well, who would that be? That would be the Lord Jesus. We know later in that chapter, he was only offered up one time for the sin of the world. He obtained eternal redemption in that. So why a plural sacrifices? You know, when I tell you what I think it is, I think as he did many things on that cross. He was the burnt offering. He was the meal offering. He was the peace offering. He was the sin offering. He was the trespass offering. He was it all. And it was that that got us into glory. This morning, I just want to preach this in a little while if you'll have the help of the Lord. Listen, I just want you to understand he's going to deal with the sin, the nature of man. That's important to understand. What did Jeremiah say? The heart deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked, who can know of it? One more time, and I'm going to move the message. We're okay? I love that boy. I've raised him right. He acts right most of the time. Every now and then he gets like his mama, Brother Josh, but most of the time pretty good. But listen to me. He's still got that nature. He's a 9-year-old boy, about to be 10, but he was 7 years old when he walked the aisle. And I tell you something, friend. At 7 years old, he had a sin nature that needed to get dealt with. And I got a little baby at home, year old. Now I love her and she's sweet, but she got a sin nature that needs to get dealt with. I mean, by nature, she's selfish. She don't care if I get any sleep or not. Somebody say amen. Amen. But there's a sin nature that God be dealt with. I want you to give you a few things. I'm going to move quickly. Number one, I want you to see the sacrifice of this sin offering. If you'll go back into chapter 4 and verse 3, you'll find out that there was a bullock, a young bullock that was used. You say, what's that got to do? That's another picture of the Lord. Can I say the bullock is a picture of strong labor in Psalm 44, and it's by great increase, by strength, in Proverbs 14. Now, I'm just a country boy, Brother Allen. Grew up right around. My folks from Cutthroat Ridge. You know who that is, but you do. I don't know a whole lot about much, but I owned a dairy farm for a while, and Papa, he was little. He didn't get out there by himself and take a little farm plow and put it in the ground and push it. He wouldn't have got a whole lot done that day, but he had a John Deere. Not a farm all, but a John Deere. Somebody say amen. He plugged that thing up and he plowed. And man, he gets a couple fields plowed up in a day's time. But if it was just him by himself, then he couldn't get it done. Back in those days, they didn't have John Deere's. Thank God we do now. They didn't have John Deere, but they had bullocks. And they'd take them bullocks, put them to a plow. They'd yoke them things together. And through that strength of labor and through that great increase come because of that strength of labor. What I'm trying to say tonight is that when somebody needed to get sin out of the way, when somebody had to do the heavy lifting, the Lord Jesus stepped up and he was strong and he was much increased by that man. By that first, and listen to me tonight, hey, we couldn't do it on our own. You can't do it on your own. You're not going to get a field plowed. Somebody say amen. But when he done it, friend, he had the power to do it, the strength to do it, and much increase come by that bullock. But it wasn't just that bullock, friend. That was a kid of goats. So you get some goats. I understand lambs, but goats? You know the thing about a goat? They're them sure-footed creatures, ain't they? These pictures and video, Brother John, it blows my mind, Pastor. Video, they're on the side of the Hoover Dam, walking on the side of the Hoover Dam. Blows my mind. I fell and broke my ankle. Brother Allen come to my yard, amen. But listen to me, he's sure-footed. The Lord needed a great work done, but he needed a sure work done. So he sent the Lord. And I say to you, listen to me, I've dropped the ball many a times. I've not always been what I should have been. I've not always done what I should have done. I've not always been the pastor. I should have been the pastor. I've always been the Christian. I've not always prayed like I should, read like I should, and done like I should. But there is one, and he's never dropped the ball. He never messed up. He never slipped. He never fell out. Listen to me, if you can trust your life with anybody, how you trust it with him, he never lets you down. He's a friend sitting close to the brother. Even to the end of the world. Listen, friend, you can trust the Lord this morning. He's sure-footed. 12 years of my life. Y'all know my backstory. 12 years of my life. All I've done is I worked narcotics, I worked dope back and forth. And I've watched people, Brother Jonathan, I'm serious. They put their faith in everything, every kind of dope, every kind of drink. And then they get out and charismatic, boy, they want all the good feelings. But listen, if you'll put all that mess to the side, if you'll put your feelings to the side, if you'll put your thoughts to the side, listen to me, and just get back in this book and get a look at Jesus, I'm telling you, you'll find out he's sure-footed. He'll not let you down, friend. What he did on Calvary, he did it right. I'm going to say that he's not just a kid of goats. I might preach a while tonight. Is it okay, Pastor? There's a lamb. Boy, that lamb just a simple passive submission. I mean, just come willingly right there to the altar, do whatever you want to do. Did it not say he came for the lamb before the slaughter, never said a word? I mean, walked right up there. I don't believe they had to put him on the cross. Hey, somebody said one time, there must have been some real men. No, there hadn't been no real men put him on there. He walked right to Calvary, Brother Lord. I'll tell you what happened. He laid that cross down. He crawled on that thing. He laid one hand out and said, nail her down. He laid the other hand out and said, nail her down. He said, get them feet. I'm talking about he was a willing sacrifice for you. There ain't nobody loved you like the Lord's loved you. Is that all right? Listen, I love my wife, and my wife loves me, but she don't love me like he loves me. Hey, ain't nobody loves you like God does, friend. Then there was two doves and pigeons. I'm not going to get into this. They wouldn't split asunder, but I want you to see what a picture of innocence there in Isaiah 59 them doves are. I'm going to get to this more in a moment, so I'm not going to hit it lost, but can I hit it long, but can I say this? Here is a picture in these offerings of the sinless, spotless Savior. Never messed up. I mean, no bad thoughts. Perfectly holy. But here's the thing, innocent. Let me understand something to you. When I stand, if I go out here tonight and I get caught with a kilo of meth in my back, well, not my back pocket, it's a lot of it's a big old back pocket, but in my car, I'll stand in front of the Lord, in front of the judge that day, and I'm not innocent. No matter what the judge says, I'm not innocent. We okay? I know it, they know it, but I might get off. It might be a technicality, man. Who knows? But either way, I'm not innocent. I deserve whatever punishment comes down. Whether, are we okay? But now look, not him. Here's one that comes submissively. Here's one that comes willingly. Here's one come with great strength. He didn't have to come. I mean, friend, he could have caught down legions of angels and just been took out of there, but he did it willingly, and he done it, and he done it in innocence. There was nothing that the God of all heaven could put onto his court docket there. Completely innocent. Then I see that fine flour. They say that was the kind they was going to make cornmeal out of. In other words, they had to do this. Had to grind it. That's a picture of his bruising. That's a picture of him being beat. Matter of fact, in Isaiah there, it talks about his vesture was so marred that they couldn't even recognize him. In Psalm 22, that great crucifixion psalm, it's what it said, and his bones was looking at him. In other words, listen, he did all of it willingly. He was sure-footed about it. He was powerful about it. He was innocent about it. But friend, it cost him something. That's the sin offering. All that's a picture of the Lord for you. But can I just give you a little bit more here just a minute? I want you to see the sinlessness of it. In Leviticus 4, dealing with the same thing. In verse number 3, it said that young bullock is without blemish. I want you to understand something when I say without blemish. That means complete, whole, entire, not without, or without spot, and perfect. That means every bit of him was perfect. Nothing was wrong. Now listen to what I'm getting at this morning. You can study this out and you'll find out these offerings, man, when they cut them up, they didn't just shoot it and throw it on the altar. No, man, they cut that thing's throat and they divide it up. They'd take the innards out, and they'd put the legs one place, the head one place, fat one place, and it was all had different portions. It was all placed in a certain order. And it was all, listen, as a burnt offering, it was all as sweet savor to God. But as a sin offering, it's him standing in our place, yes, taking our sin. Yes, And you say, what's the sinlessness about it? Well, listen to me just a minute. Brother Monty, this just blows my mind. That head speaks of the thoughts, but man, he's never had a bad thought. He's never had an erring thought. Listen, when they was beating him, when they was crucifying him, he didn't say, boy, this ain't no fun. I don't like it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friend, I'm telling you, he never had a bad thought. Had them legs speak of his walk. He never walked the wrong way. He's never messed up. He never done anything he shouldn't have done. His steps was always in line with God the Father. Everywhere he went was by the perfect will of God. Everything he done was the perfect will of God. Why? Because he was the perfect Son of God. Oh, but that fat friend, excuse me, let me get back to this. Them innards, that's them feelings and emotions of the heart. Now listen, Brother John, this is where I mean, they really gets me. He's on Calvary. They're putting a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him to death there at the cat of nine tails. He's going on his way to Calvary. Yet, his emotions, they've never been wrong. Can I say something to you? Hey, somebody cut me off going up 77. First thing goes through my mind and my heart is I'm going to put him in the ditch. Somebody say amen. But can I say, here he is, a man that loved you enough and so holy and so righteous. He's died for your sin and he never got upset and he never got out of the way. Every bit of his emotion, every bit of his innards, every bit of his stuff was been the perfect will of God. I'm talking about he's holy. Then I got that fat. Now listen, I know we're living in a healthy time in 2025 and I need to lose some weight. Don't get nervous about it, but everywhere in the Bible it's positive. So everybody wants a fatty calf. Is that right? Over here in Leviticus, Bible said that the fat's for the Lord. That's a picture of health. And you say, now, wait a minute, you're too fat. I understand that. But in them days, animals in the wild, if they had to have a little fat on their bones, a little fat in their meat, you've got to have a certain amount to be healthy or you ain't going to make it in the wild, friend. And these bullocks, when they had that fat, that was a picture of health. That was a picture of energy and vigor. All of that was to him. Can I say, friend, ain't you glad when the Bible said that he come to seek and to save that was lost from the day he stepped on earth? Every bit of his energy, every bit of his vigor, Brother Heath, it was getting him to Calvary. The only thought on his mind, it was getting to Calvary. Only thought on his mind was saving the lost, friend. Well, I ought to help you. I'm just telling you, friend, I read out of Hebrews a while ago. You realize the whole book of Hebrews is a book of betters, man. He's a better magistrate. He's a better ministry. He's a better salvation. He's a better security. He's a better sanctuary. He's a better sacrifice. And thank God there's a better testament in the blood of the Lord Jesus, friend. I say this, he's tried. Matter of fact, he was tried by man. Pilate said, I find no fault in it. Is that right? He was tried by the devil in temptation, never failed. I believe the Lord looked down on him, laid sin upon him. And I'm going to be honest with you, in the baptism, what the Lord say, it's my son whom I'm well pleased. You say, did he pass Calvary? Oh, yes, he did. Because 3 days later, he got up again. You say, how do I know that God was satisfied with Calvary? Because of the resurrection, friend. That's how you know. And he sat down the right hand of God the Father. I'm saying, friend, he was tried by man. He was tried by Satan. He was tried by God and passed, friend. I'm talking about he was holy. You said that preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Because of the substitution. I'm probably just going to park it for a little while. Is it okay? Over in verse 4, in Leviticus 4, and I believe it even here, it says that they to lay their hand. Matter of fact, let's go flip back to Leviticus 4:4 for me. Back to Leviticus 4:4 for me. Bible says you should bring the bullock to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. Seeing that as a substitutionary sacrifice, what you see right here is he's placing his hands upon that bullock and he's saying, what was mine is now yours and what's yours is now mine. Grant, can I pick on you again? Don't be a preacher's kid. You always get picked on. Come here, kid. See, what you don't understand is that man shows up in front of God and Grant's going to be my sacrifice. Is that okay? Yeah, going to get you. Maybe you'll be like Isaac, and Lord, supply himself a ram. Okay, this ain't time. But I show up in front of God and I know I've sinned and I know I've come short of the glory of God and I've realized it. Matter of fact, the Bible over in verse 4 and 5 both says he didn't know, but when he knoweth it, he must go to a sin. That's what we call old-fashioned conviction. And listen to me, you'll never get saved till you first get lost. And I don't believe, I believe in a whosoever will salvation. I don't believe in a whosoever will salvation. I believe when the Lord deals with your heart, you better move, and you better move right then, because that's the time you got to get saved. Yeah, if that, I'm going to preach right there this minute. It's all right. We live in this day and time. All you got to do is walk down an aisle, hey, chewing bubble gum, smiling, laughing. One, two, three, repeat after me. I don't put no stock in that, but I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost of God says that in your heart, and the Holy Ghost of God says you're lost, and you're dying, and you're going to hell, you better believe Him, friend. And when He does that, at the same time, He'll point you to Calvary. He said you're on your way to hell, but there is a God that'll save you. That's conviction, what that is. Without it, there ain't no salvation. That's why, I'm all right, Pastor. Listen, that's why you got to preach hell and heaven. If you don't preach hell, that's, you ain't people one side of the coin, friend. Hey, what are you going to get saved from? Hell, friend, and judgment. Are we all right? So I show up knowing I'm a sinner, and I show up knowing that I messed up. And I bring my bullock with me. And I bring that bullock in front of the Lord, right? Because it said, do it unto the Lord. Is that right? Now watch this. I take my hands and I put it on that bullock. And I'm confessing my sins on this bullock. And that great high priest is there and he's listening to it. Lord, I've had bad thoughts today. Lord, I've said things I shouldn't have said today. Whatever sin may be. But here's the thing, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm never perfect. I can never do anything on my own good enough. I'm just a sinner. And now all of a sudden that is imputed, reckoned to that bullock's account. And now that bullock as is as I am. And he gets the judgment of sin, but I'm as the bullock is. Bullock ain't done nothing wrong. Somebody say amen. That bullock's a picture of labor and great increase. Somebody say amen. That lamb's a picture of innocence, and is that right? And submission. Them goats is sure-footed. Them pigeons is innocent. Man, it's the Lord. Him that knew no sin was made sin that we might be what? Made the righteous of not, now listen, this is a big deal. Not just righteous, but the righteous of God in Him. In other words, my sin nature's been dealt with. And I listen. I've heard people say this like I've never sinned. No, it's better than that. It's like you've never been a sinner. That's the righteousness of God. And it's been placed upon Him. My sin has. And that bullet goes. And that bullet dies. And that bullet gets cut up. But that blood gets on the mercy seat. You hear me? We okay? And because of that, the Bible says atonement is made. You sit down. Because of that, atonement has been made. And now here's what he's saying, friend. And I don't know how a Calvinist, and I'm not a Calvinist, somebody say amen. I don't know how a Calvinist gets past 1 John 2:2. He'll be propitiation for our sins, not our sins only, that's the elect, but the sins of the whole world. That right? That propitiation means the appeasement. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Every year before the Lord died with the Lord, you know what they did? They had a day of atonement. And they'd bring them goats up there and them lambs, they'd kill it. They'd take one, they'd put one hand on that one goat's head. They'd take that goat inside by the island. They'd kill that goat on the outside, excuse me. And then, but the blood would go to the inside. It'd be placed on that mercy seat. And then when it was on that mercy seat, that high priest would come out. He'd put his hands on that other goat. And they'd send the sins of Israel out. And it was gone. But they did that every year. See, that didn't appease God. It didn't satisfy God. It just simply pushed the sin back one more year, one more year. Judgment back one more year, one more year. But see, it wasn't like that when the Lord come. See, when the Lord come, He entered in one time and one time only for the eternal redemption. Is that right? There'll never be another Calvary. He took upon the sin of the world. Can I tell you what happened on Calvary, Brother Jenkins? God Almighty reached down, put His hands on the Lord Jesus, and all the sin of all the world, from every man, boy, girl that's ever lived, ever will live, all that sin nature, it was placed upon Him, and He became sin. Why? In my place, that I might not have to be. And I might not have to go to Calvary. I might not have to die. Oh, but He died that I might live. Now listen, when He did it, that was it. I mean, they went on killing goats for years. For nothing. You know, one Jewish historian says this. They used to take this, Brother Allen. They said they'd dip this white, this rag in blood, a red scarlet, and they'd hang that scarlet on the temple. And they'd take that goat all the way outside, and we'd get him all the way outside there. They'd get him all the way outside, and they'd throw him off that cliff or whatever, and they'd wave a flag back, let them know that the sin was gone. And they said them flags would wave and wave and wave. And by the time it got back to Jerusalem in the temple, they said that scarlet, red scarlet, would turn white. They said after Christ, they do it, Brother John, is what they say. This is no Bible, it's just what history would say. It never turned white again. You know why? Nothing's getting handled, it was already done. The Lord fixed it all. What I'm talking about is he took your place. You say, preacher boy, I'm going to tell you, I need some revival. Right here it is. This is where it starts. Friend, when you realize that he was made a curse for us, he was made sin for us, honey, that's it. You want your heart to start burning? You get these youngins up here happy about being saved. Get these youngins up here excited about Jesus dying for their sin. It'll start revival. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, brother, he said it. I was planning on saying it. I'm going to say it anyway. We've got over Calvary, and we've got over our salvation. Listen, the greatest thing we've ever been given is salvation. I thank God he walks with me every day, and I thank God he talks with me, and he prays with me, and I can see the word of God, and I can get help. That the greatest thing he ever done was when I was a little boy, and I put my faith in him, and he rescued my soul out of hell. Oh, that's the best day of my life. That's the best day of my life. I say hallelujah. That's the best day of my life, friend. When I got born again, he took my place. What a day that is. What a day that is. Can I give you one more? Can I give you one more? Maybe two more, can I? That's pretty good. I want to look at the very last verse there. Verse 13 that I read there. I'm sorry. I lied to you. It's the last verse in chapter 4. I'm sorry. Look at the last verse in chapter 4. Look at that very last part. And it shall be forgiven him. I like it. Not that it might be. Not that if he feels like it that day. Not if he woke up on the right side of bed and the coffee was right and everything was perfect. Ain't what that says. It says that if that sin offering was offered and a man come to claim that sin offering, so this is what happened. He put his hands on that bullock. He said, Lord, I'm taking what's his. He's taking what's mine. And if I'll come to Christ, if I'm lost this evening, listen, all you got to do is come to Christ and say, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a sinner. I don't deserve it. I'm just believing you in the blood. And he took Calvary. I just want what was his. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He didn't say you might get it, but shall be forgiven. I like that thing over in Romans in 10 there. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, friend. Is that right? I don't know who you are this morning. I don't even know who I preach to tonight. Can I tell you, I don't care if you've been a member of the church. I've had members of church get saved at Southside. That's true. I had one call me. Matter of fact, I put him over my bus route. I thought he was good. I thought everything was fine. Man, he was singing. He was doing. He's serving God. And boy, I was preaching on that one day about, man, this thing being more than just that it was real, right? It was relationship, that the Lord would talk with you and help you, and there was relationship to be had. And boy, so I got to riding around one day. He couldn't get that off his mind, and he caught me with tears in his voice. He said, preacher, listen, I've been going on a long time, and something just wasn't right. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was going to go to hell. He said, but friend, I got saved tonight. You say, well, you tell me that for? Because I'm afraid we got a whole lot of church pews that's full of folks that's holding on to profession, that's holding on to what they did when they was a boy. And because some preacher said, just say these things and everything will be fine. And they'll go to Romans 10 and quote it. Say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you better read that next verse. How can they call what they have not believed, friend? This thing is from the heart. You can say all you want to say. I can say I'm an astronaut, but I ain't no astronaut. But if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He'll handle that confession thing. Am I all right, Brother Allen? And if you'll come to him by faith, you quit trying to work it out. I'm off my outline now. Are we okay? You quit trying to work it out and just come on by faith. And you'll get it. Over in 2 Thessalonians, Paul told them Thessalonians, he said, you turn from idols unto the living God. That's biblical repentance. And here's the thing. What was their idols? Self. As many of us going to hell trying to do everything ourselves. We're trying to live right. We're trying to do right. I mean, we're trying to dress right, talk right. I mean, some of us are miserable because we're living under standards that man have been preaching and not the Bible, and you're miserable. You might want to check up and make sure. We okay? Am I okay, Pastor? I ain't trying to skip and mess nothing up. Am I all right? Listen to me. If you'll come by faith, honey, he shall save you. This evening, this is what's on my heart. Just come. Just come. And the Lord will save you. If somebody come to the piano, I'm going to say a few quick things. I'm going to turn over to the pastor. Listen to me, and I'm done. I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart. But that every bit of that sin offering is a picture of our Savior. And if you're here this morning, tonight, excuse me, it's been a long day. If you're here tonight, listen to me. And all you got is just a profession of lips. And they ain't nothing right here. See, the other day, last night I went over in Jeremiah 20 and I told you that word was down in his bones. There wasn't no quid in him. If they ain't something down in your bones, there's something wrong. If there ain't no life down in there, there's something wrong. Now, I want you to hear me. A lot of preachers say that there ain't no such thing as backsliding. Well, just better read the Bible. I don't know what to tell them. I mean, even Peter said you can get so far away from God and forget you've been purged of your sins. That's exactly what it said. So you might be backsliding. I'm going to tell you this. I believe this thing's really about to wrap up. I was talking to my mama today, and she was telling me about getting the house paid off. She was excited and everything, and she said, boy, if something ever happens to us, you're going to have a house. And I said, well, Mom, I'd really have you than a house. Somebody said, amen. But she was going on. And while she was talking, I thought, well, I don't know if it's even going to matter, Mama. I believe the Lord may come back so soon. I mean, I'm talking, they ain't one bit of prophecy got to be fulfilled for the Lord to come back. That's the next thing on the time calendar. And if you're here today, am I okay, Pastor? If you're here today listening, and the Lord's pricked your heart with the Holy Ghost and showed you you's lost, you don't want to miss the rapture. I've had people tell me this. Now, if I'm wrong, you set me down. This is what they tell me. It's all right. I can get to the rapture and everything, and at tribulation, I'll just live right and die and martyred. It's going to be okay. No, you won't. If you've been pricked in the heart by the gospel of the Lord, what's going to happen is you're going to be sent a strong delusion, and you're going to believe a lie. And you're going to start chasing after things. And you're going to be over in Revelation 19 if you live that long, fighting against the Lord when he comes back. Are we okay? You're going to die and go to hell. But tonight, the sin offering, that blood's still fresh. It's still on the mercy seat. And there's still a call for Christians to come. Excuse me, lost to come and get saved. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you listen to the preacher tonight. I'd get it handled right now. I would not leave them doors. I wouldn't leave out this place. Listen, if I had doubts, I would not leave this place until they settled up. You know why? Because hell's real. Heaven's real. And they are a way out, friend. He died for your sins. He was the bullock and the lamb and the goat and the fine flour. He was every bit of that. And all he's wanting you to do is just trust him and him alone, and he'll save your soul. Preacher, if you'll come, every head bowed, never.